The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We're talking IU spring game today. We're going to be joined by TJ Inman. He'll be joining us in a few minutes. We'll be talking the format of the game, some of the events going on around the stadium before and after the game. There is some injury news we need to update you on if you hadn't heard already. So, TJ, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Sammy. Nice weather outside. It appears that the same can be said for tomorrow evening. It looks like it'll be a lot better than it was going to be last week. I think that we're anticipating, you know, probably by the time the sun sets, somewhere in the high 50s, low 60s in Bloomington. So, weather certainly cannot be an excuse for not having a good crowd.
Yeah, and, you know, people are complaining that it was a night game. And to be honest with you, weather in April, I've been to spring games where they've started at noon and it's been sideways raining and 35 degrees. So, you know, it's weather in Indiana. If you don't like it, wait 15 minutes. Hopefully it'll change. But, you know, there are a lot of events going around at the spring game. They have, obviously, Coach Wilson has mentioned the concert after the game. IU put out a list of things that are going on tomorrow. They are having a free youth football clinic, that starts at 5 p.m. It's for kids age 5 to 12. It's on the practice fields. There's going to be fireworks afterwards. When they run through the tunnel, there's, you know, you get a free hot dogs and soft drinks. The first 1,000 fans in the stadium, stadium gates open at 5:30. It'll only be on the east side. And then they'll have the, cream and crimson game, starting around 6:30, 7 o'clock. Wilson said that they'll get onto the field around 5:45. They'll do some stretching. They'll do some individual practices, and, you know, starting, a little later, they'll have about an hour, 70 plays of live scrimmage, ones-on-ones, twos-on-twos, things like that. So, you know, it's going to be a different type of spring game. They're only playing on 80 yards due to the concert and the stage on the south side of the stadium, but it'll be good to see the ones go against the ones in live practice. So if you watch the Illinois Northwestern game a few years ago at Wrigley, where they're only going in one direction, it's going to be like that. So TJ, some injury news. Wilson said that Kameon Patrick was having a knee surgery. There's no timetable for his return. They don't know or wouldn't disclose the extent of the injury. Also, Wilson said that Dan Feeney would be out of the spring game. He's having a little procedure on his ankle to clean up a bone spur from a previous injury. It's nothing serious. He will be back in a couple of weeks. If it was serious, you probably wouldn't see him at all this spring. Jacob Bailey, another older guy, is just going to be held out just to, you know, keep his so-called pitch countdown and save his body a little bit. We probably won't see Jayshon Harris and some of these guys who haven't been cleared for full contact yet. You'll see them maybe in individual drills, non-contact drills, but I don't see them playing in the live scrimmage. So they'll have, you know, they didn't want to go a full game. They don't have the depth that they will have in the fall. They want to keep guys healthy. But other than that, it will be a full go. They'll have live kicking and punting situations, which will let us know how Griffin Oaks is doing. how the punt team and return teams are doing. So I'm very excited to see one last time before spring practice ends where this team is at. TJ, what is the first thing you're looking for when watching the spring game?
Yeah, one injury that also was mentioned, Austin Doris, tight end, that is coming off of his redshirt season, has a broken arm to some extent. It does not sound like it's going to be a long-term injury. It's maybe just a little crack or something, but he does have a cast on his arm that he should be getting out of in May and then be able to return to football activities. But he'll be out for the spring game as well, which, you know, is noteworthy because, you know, tight end is pretty thin at this point without Doris until the recruits get on campus. A couple of tight end recruits, Ian Thomas, the most notable of those that will be expected to contribute. So tight end looking a little thin for the spring game. But I think as I look towards what we're looking at, and it's important for people to remember, number one, these injuries, and number two, there's going to be some situational things that the coaches are wanting to look at. So because you see a position group on the field doesn't necessarily mean, oh, yeah, that guy's a starter, or, oh, he's definitely a backup if he's playing with the twos for a series, or, you know, we are going to do our best to not jump to conclusions. But like you said, this will be a, kind of our last data point heading out of spring practice before kind of the long stretch of off season throughout the summer before fall camp, and we really ramp up what this team looks like. So the obvious thing that everybody's going to be watching is going to be the play of the quarterbacks in a faux live game scenario. Richard Vigo, Austin King, Danny Cameron are all going to see some snaps. I don't know if anyone beyond those three is going to get any looks. I don't know if Donovan Hale gets any looks, but it is going to be interesting to see, number one, just what do they look like back there? How comfortable do they look in the pocket? You know, it's not going to be a live rush, probably. They won't be getting hit, but how do they look? How quickly do they make their reads? How do they throw the ball? Kind of what's the timing like with their wide receivers? And along those lines, I'm interested to see kind of that second group of wide receivers. You know, we know what we have with Mitchell Page, Ricky Jones, and Simi Cobbs. We know what those guys have. Like you said, Jayshon Harris likely not to play, and Isaac Griffith not going to play. So guys like Luke Timian, Nick Westbrook, especially Westbrook, he's a guy that I think is a potential breakout candidate for sure. So, you know, how did they look in their kind of second spring game on it'll be Westbrook's first, but how do they look in kind of their second season in the program? So the passing game is going to be the obvious thing that jumps out right away for me. And then the second thing along those lines is going to be the running game. Kameon Patrick not available. We don't know what his availability is going forward, but we know about Devine Redding, and we saw glimpses of Mike Majette. I'm interested to see what Majette looks like. I'm interested to see what Devontae Williams looks like, especially. That's probably the big one. What does he look like with the ball in his hands? Because we've heard really good things. The highlights from the scrimmage that they had, you know, he definitely jumped off the tape, and he looked really good in high school whenever he had the ball in his hands. So can Devontae Williams be a guy that is kind of a change of pace back that we can expect things out of in the fall? It's going to be our first indication of that coming up at the spring game.
Yeah, and you're right on point with, you know, looking at quarterbacks is probably going to draw the eye of all the fans. And then there are some secondary position battles that you want to see, especially on offense and a lot on defense. You know, the one thing I'm going to look at, you mentioned, it might not be a live rush, but I believe that Allen and Hagan would want to see as much of a live rush as possible without, you know, jeopardizing a quarterback's health, because they don't really know what they have there. They have a bunch of guys who, you know, they've only worked with for a month or so now. They want to see how they could do in game situations. And it's going to be interesting to see how they look. Does Ralph Green, you know, look like he did a couple years ago? Does Nate Hoff, you know, play better than he has? And the reviews coming out of spring on Nate Hoff are terrific. That he's back to playing where he was a couple years ago, and that he's developed as a leader on that defensive line. Some new guys, we want to see how Jacob Robinson looks in his first spring practices or first spring game. He played a little bit last year, but how has he developed after a full off season? We want to see Jamiris Bowen, who, you know, really has not that much experience on defense. How has he developed a little bit? And again, how those guys at that bull position look. So as much as they don't want to get the quarterback hurt, I think they go live until, you know, until you get to the quarterback. That way you have have some realistic looks along the line. And again, on the offensive line now, without Feeney and probably without Jake Bailey and maybe some of the older guys, how do these young guys look? We've heard they're very talented. They're the future of this offense and where they'll go. Now, how do they work together? These are things that build quality depth where, you know, knock on wood, nobody gets injured this year that's starting along the line. But these are reps where they get to play with somebody who might be starting and develop a, you know, some chemistry with them. So it'll be interesting how these young offensive linemen do against the defensive line, how they work together, where they'll move along the line. I assume that they're going to try different guys at different spots just because you can. It's the spring game. And I want to see how these corners have been doing. The practices that I've seen, the defense looks so much better, better in tackling. They look better in energy. They look better in confidence. And I think that has a lot to do with Coach Allen. He's preaching takeaways. He's preaching energy. And and they're doing tackling every day, something with tackling every day. And Wilson said that last Saturday's scrimmage was as best as he's seen this defense play since he's been here. Now, the bar's not set very high, but let's see this defense. I want to see this defense come out with some sort of swagger. Now, I don't want them to injure anybody because they're your own guys, but come out with some swagger, you know, rip the ball out, maybe start a, you know, get in somebody's face. Show that you're not afraid to go up against one of the better offenses in the Big Ten and show what you're made of. So that's on defense. I want to see the attitude, and I want to see them tackle well. You know, if they get beat on a couple plays, that's going to happen. But, you know, I want to see the attitude, how they bounce back from giving up big plays, and really how they develop fundamentally.
Yeah, I think that's you mentioned the confidence part of it to the defense. And I really do think that's more than just, you know, coach speak, mumbo jumbo type talk. I think the confidence and mindset in any sport is a really big deal. And I don't believe that Indiana's defense recently has had much confidence in being able to get decent offenses off the field. It's understandable because, you know, they really hadn't accomplished it. So how do you have confidence when you haven't really, you know, experience success, and I totally understand that, but it does seem like there's a different level of energy and a different level of confidence that is coming from defense, and I do believe, like you said, that kind of starts with Tom Allen. He's a guy that has had that success in places that he's been and defenses that he's led. It hasn't happened at IU yet, but it has with him personally. And that hasn't always been the case with the defensive coordinators that have been at Indiana. I can't be any higher than I am on the addition of Tom Allen and what it could mean for the Indiana program here in the very near future. I do want to ask you one question. You mentioned the secondary. If you were guessing right now, which I am asking you to do, what do you think that starting five, remember guys, it's 4-2-5 now, so five players in that secondary, the fifth being the Husky position, what do you think that those five spots are going to be if they were lining up for a game right now? So if the season opener were tomorrow as opposed to the spring game, what do you think that those five guys starting would be? And then, you know, who are kind of the primary backups for those spots so that we can kind of track how that either doesn't change or does change? So, you know, we don't have any inside info as to what the IU coaches staff depth chart is in their head, but based on what you've seen and just kind of your own projections, what do you think that's going to look like?
You talk about the five guys in the secondary?
Yeah, five guys in the secondary plus maybe the primary backup at safety, primary backup at corner, at Husky, top seven or eight guys that you foresee as we head into the spring game, and so that people can kind of track those seven or eight guys plus as we move forward after that in the fall.
Well, let's start at corner because that's where your most known commodity is in Rashard Fant. He is going to be your number one corner. He came on last year to be that number one corner. He's got the ball skills. He's a little undersized, but he's good enough to still be your number one. At the other corner, I think you're going to see Tyler Green. He gives you a little bit bigger of a body, a longer body. He's played really well this spring. He's a guy that Coach Shelby has talked very highly about. He gives you the length that Fant does not have. You know, now you're a little bit more able to match up receivers. If there's a bigger receiver that Fant can't guard, you can put Tyler Green on him. At safety, you're going to have Jonathan Crawford at one of the safety positions. Coach Allen loves his nose for the ball. He says he does need to be a little bit more vocal. And, you know, he's just a very, very good football player. I think at the other safety, you're either going to see Jamie Thompson, maybe Keontae, I think it's Keontae Walton, Dawkins. Will Dawkins is going to be at the other safety probably. He's played very well this spring. He's hitting guys very hard. The one guy here who might be an X factor, but who has been out all spring is Chase Dutra. Now, IU's going to bring in some guys in the recruiting class. Brandon Drayton's one of them. Where Dutra might get buried, so that'll be an interesting thing to keep an eye on come summer camp. But you know they have a lot of depth there now. I think at that Husky position, you're going to see Ben Bach, who coaches have said that position has been made for him. I think you see Jamie Thompson as well there. And he might even play six defensive backs sometimes. It really depends on the matchup. But Jamie Thompson and Ben Bach there give you two guys who, you know, lay the lumber a little bit, who have decent ball skills. But, you know, we'll see where they go from there. Thompson could move to safety as well. And things like that. But I think you have five, at least the top five guys out there are good. They just have to stay healthy. Now, Andre Brown, he's another guy who's not going to be playing in the contact in the spring game. He's coming off a shoulder injury. He's been in a blue jersey for most of the spring, if not all of it. But he's a guy who, you know, he struggled at corner last year. We'll see what he could do if he could find a role as a backup if they move him to safety, which I think they – if I was coaching, that's somewhere where I would try him out at is safety. I don't think he's fast enough to be a corner, to be left alone on an island most of the times. But there are, you know, five or six guys that can play there, and you'll see the difference. You'll see that difference this year, and I think this is where all that playing time that Tyler Green got last year, because of injuries and all that stuff. You know, we'll see that start to pay off.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely a position group that is fluid. There are so many options that I don't think that there's a position group that is going to be battled quite as fiercely by as many guys as we'll see in the secondary. And then you're going to have to continue to earn that playing time once the season actually begins. Like, it's not going to be a case where I don't think you're going to see, you know, any one group of five just kind of separate themselves. And you mentioned the possibility of playing six at any time. Yeah, I mean, there are, you know, coaching changes in the Big Ten East have led to new offensive coordinators. Penn State has a new offensive coordinator that is kind of setting up a West Coast spread. And then Maryland's new offensive coordinator at Arkansas State, he ran a kind of a spread option attack. And then Rutgers offensive coordinator ran a spread offense at his previous stop. So I think you could see even more spread attacks in the Big Ten, where really the only traditional power offense left in the division is going to be Michigan and Michigan State to some extent. Even, I mean, they're kind of spread as well, but so you could see six defensive backs lined up there, and IU does have the number of guys to do it. Like you said, it's just going to be a matter of finding that kind of group of, I would say, probably eight or nine guys that you feel really comfortable with to be able to put them in different situations and have them be confident in what they're doing. The more you're thinking on defense, the less.
And it's going to go the other way too, TJ. Yeah, and it's going to go the other way too when you play teams like Michigan and Michigan State, where you're going to need that bigger body, you know, basically a linebacker instead of that Husky position, where, you know, a guy who I think is kind of getting pushed out a little bit is TJ Simmons. He was solid again. He had a great game against Michigan State last year. Here's a guy, he could tackle, he could take on bigger running backs and blockers who, when you're playing teams like a Michigan State, like a Michigan, maybe a Penn State, you know, he's a guy who could come in that maybe you play three linebackers and go back to just four defensive backs. So I think they're going to be very multiple. It's going to be a different, more aggressive defense than you saw last year, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I do think multiple is a good word for it. You know, they're not going to be married to constantly only having two linebackers on the field. That, I mean, you just can't do that.
Especially since that's IU's strength on defense, is that linebacker.
It would seem so, yeah. Yeah, it would seem so. And Simmons is a guy that, you know, he's not big enough to be transitioned to that bull position. So I definitely think he'll be a part, even if they were only playing two linebackers at a time, he'd be a part of that rotation anyway, with Scales and Oliver. I think he's behind those two guys, but he'll definitely be getting adequate playing time, and he'll be a critical part of things. But talking about guys that you're interested in seeing, and you mentioned the offensive line, you're right. You certainly hope that nobody gets injured on that offensive line during the season, but you know that's a tough position. You need to have a good group of depth, and I think that Indiana, I would say that this and probably that secondary, Indiana has really recruited both of those positions. And I guess you could add linebacker to that. Both of those positions on paper very well. We don't know for sure what those young guys on the offensive line are going to end up looking like when they're actually put in positions where they have to be asked to contribute. But on paper and based on what the coaches have told us, you know, during interviews, It's not just, you know, paper tiger hype. They're legitimately good prospects that can be relied upon in the future. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see, as you said, kind of not necessarily an entire group of second linemen, but kind of, okay, what's it look like when it's three regular starters plus, you know, two guys that are from that second unit. So guys that we're seeing for the first time, like Hunter Littlejohn or Simon Stepaniak, you know, guys that we haven't seen in prominent roles like DeAndre Love or Tim Gardner. I think that it's going to be very interesting to see. And, you know, none of us are offensive line experts like Greg Fry, but I think that you can tell sort of how a guy moves his feet, how he moves his hips, how he positions his hands. You can tell whether or not he's quick enough, mobile enough, big enough to be a lineman that's capable of playing on this Indian offensive line, which, again, should be one of, if not the best offensive lines in the Big Ten. And the guys that you see in that second and even third team, those are the guys tasked with keeping that standard if they're asked to come into the game this season, and then once they're asked to take over, when the current players move on. But and Brandon Knight is one of those guys that is going to be asked with keeping up with the standard that Jason Spriggs set. Now it's Knight's job as the left tackle, and he's going to be interesting to watch. I think that both of us have confidence that he can do that job, and we continue to hear good things about his performance. And I think it's very clear he's athletic enough, he's big enough. It's just a matter of being consistent, because that left tackle position, you're going against, you know, elite defensive linemen pretty much every Saturday or Thursday, I guess, in Indiana's season opener's case. But so you've got it's a mindset thing for him, I think, is going to be keeping that constant focus. And, you know, this Friday's spring game is going to be a good test for the linemen that we haven't really seen before, to kind of step in there and show what they can do to the coaches and show that they're worthy of being pretty high up there on that depth chart. I think the starting lineup for the offensive line is pretty well set in stone, barring any injury before the season. But I think that that second group is still very much fighting for position on the depth chart.
Yeah, and that's where this spring game is going to come in handy, is showing these guys getting live reps and where their development is. And that's one of the good things of why Dan Feeney's not playing and why Jacob Bailey is probably not playing, that it gives these young guys reps that they need. It's reps that they wouldn't get in the regular season, and that's another reason why these bowl practices are so important too. So, TJ, to wrap it up, I just your general feeling around the program. What is it?
I think it's positive. I think that there is cautious optimism about defensive improvements. I don't think that anybody is going to go out on a limb and say it's going to be a great defense in 2016. But I do think that, at least with myself, there's very cautious optimism that there's going to be steps forward on that side of the ball, and I'm looking forward to kind of having that feeling reinforced on Friday, just by the general look of the defense. And then offensively, I think that there are some questions on offense. Number one, at the quarterback, I have no doubt that IU's quarterback play will be good. The question is, will it be really good? If it can be really good, then I feel like this offense can be pretty close to the level we saw in 2015. If not, maybe take a step forward if the quarterback play is exceptional. And then I think that the skill position groups are as good as they've been at Indiana in a long time, just in terms of top to bottom depth in the skill position. So I think the feeling right now for me is cautious optimism that last season's trip to a bowl game is be another 7-year wait until the next one.
Yeah, and you know, speaking on the quarterbacks, I really to go into the next season, really think Legault is going to be the number one guy. He's shown tremendous arm strength. He's just got to get more reps and you know, get the playbook under his belt a little bit more. Danny Cameron looks very, very serviceable. He's made some great throws in practice. We'll see what he looks like. And the way Austin King has bounced back from being ruled out a couple of weeks, it's got to be an encouraging sign for the staff that, hey, we have a guy here who's up for the challenge and is ready for anything. So lots of storylines to go into the spring game with. It should be exciting. The weather's going to be good. It might be a little chilly after the sun goes down, so bring a sweatshirt. But lots of stuff going on. It's after the women's race. You know, make your way over after the women's race from Armstrong Stadium. You know, I know there's a baseball game going on as well. So lots of things going on around the IU Athletic Complex tomorrow. I'll be down there. I think Nick will be joining me. We'll have a photographer down there for pictures as well. So, you know, if you see me, stop by and say hi. Always appreciate that. TJ, thanks for jumping on with us. Seasons, you know, we're getting there. We're 140-something days away from kickoff. I think about 110 days away from potentially camp starting open. And so we're getting ready.
Absolutely. You'll be here before we know it. Have a good week, everybody.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on the spring game preview. Hopefully you guys make it down for the spring game. Check it out. It's going to be exciting. There's going to be a lot of intriguing battles that people need to watch with their own eyes. Also, I believe that if you go to the spring game, you get into the concert for free. So remember that. I think the concert, if you have a ticket, it's around $50. So come enjoy the weather, enjoy football, and we'll talk to you afterwards.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.